Welcome to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com. Today's game is powered by Coke Zero. Football-related chest bumps, high fives, and trash talk, brought to you by Coke Zero. Enjoy everything. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. Atlantic Physical Therapy Center, with five locations in the Shore area, helping to get you back in the game. The Penalty Box Cafe at the Jersey Shore Arena in Farmingdale, featuring laser tag, arcade, and birthday parties. First Atlantic Federal Credit Union, Barnabas Health, Sonic, America's Drive-In, and the Asbury Park Press. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network, a production of Monmouth University Department of Athletics. Let's head down to the field and join Matt Harmon and Eddie Iacopinti for all of today's action.
Beautiful Saturday afternoon for some college football activity here from Ithaca, New York. This is Monmouth University Football. We are live from Sholkoff Field at the home of the Big Red, Cornell, as the Cornell coming in 2-2, 1-1 in the Ivy League. Monmouth at 3-2 overall, 2-1 in the Northeast Conference. This is obviously a non-conference game for the day and a great setting for college football. This one of the longtime schools that has been playing college football for a very long time. Cornell in their 125th season. They took 1 year off in 1918 during World War One. They've won national championships. They've had famous players go through here. And this is the first ever matchup that Monmouth will see against an Ivy League team. We'll step out and take a quick timeout. We'll check in the very latest with our NEC notebook and our good friend Paul Dottino. We're back right after this quick break with more Monmouth Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Paul Dottino with the NEC Notebook, presented by Choice Hotels. To learn how you can save 15% on your next stay, visit northeastconference.org and click on the corporate partners link. Wagner running back Dominic Williams of Bridgeton, New Jersey, is the offensive player of the week. He rushed for 122 yards and two touchdowns against Sacred Heart, including an 81-yard dash, the NEC's longest in 5 years. The defensive pick is Albany safety Justinian Mason of Mason, Ohio. His 75-yard TD return off an interception broke a 14-all tie as the Great Danes turned aside Bryant. Sacred Heart defensive lineman Tyler Fear of Florence, New Jersey, is the special team's player of the week. He came up with his third block kick of the season. He also had two sacks on defense. The rookie pick is St. Francis running back Anthony Abeed of Youngstown, Ohio. He came up with 136 all-purpose yards to spark a win over Robert Morris. And a high five to Ryan Kirshner, who became Albany's all-time leading receiver. He's got 149 career receptions. Don't forget to keep track of all your stats, scores, and standings here at northeastconference.org.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Back here from upstate New York at Sholkoff Field, we get sent for Monmouth University football as the Hawks coming in with a 3-2 record, looking to take on the Big Red of Cornell. Matt Harmon along with Eddie Iacopinti, thanks so much for joining us here and spending part of your Saturday afternoon with us. The setting is beautiful up here in upstate New York in Ithaca, and really looking forward to this one as Monmouth taking on an Ivy League team for the first time in the 20-year history of the program. We're looking forward to a really good quarterback matchup between Kyle Frazier and Jeff Matthews. Instead, what we will have is Kyle Frazier against Chris Amrine. Matthews, a much heralded quarterback up here at Cornell, bothered by a neck injury and will not play, with the Big Red obviously trying to focus on their Ivy League schedule, which gets back up and running next week against Brown. They come in at 2-2, and they will have to make a lot of adjustments today. They are a bit banged up off a loss to Harvard last week. The Harvard Crimson, very, very good football team, really beat up this Cornell team last week, 45-13. Matthews, who is among those on the Peyton a watch list, had already thrown for over 1,400 yards, 8 touchdowns, and intercepted 3 times, so he will be a big loss. Shane Savage, who was a preseason All-American wide receiver, also not playing today, bothered by a bad knee, likely to not play for the remaining part of the year. And the starting center, Bob Bullington, who is a 6'3", 276-pound senior, will not play today. Also, Zach Wilk will get the start instead. Wilk coming in at 6'4", 269. He is just a freshman. So just like Monmouth last week, 2 weeks ago, I should say, as Monmouth comes in off the bye, 2 weeks ago was a bit banged up defensively. Today it is Cornell who is a bit banged up offensively. Monmouth with some of their injury problems today as well. Bill Louch, who's been bothered by a bad foot, will not play today. Also, the player who had started in his place 2 weeks ago at Albany, Anthony McDonough, he will not play today either. Expecting either Jeremy Rodriguez or Dave Demersion to start at that other outside linebacker spot opposite of Colin Cooper and flanking Dan Sullivan. Pat Gray, who missed the game 2 weeks ago against Albany, is expected back, and we'll see time here this afternoon. Game time temperature in the mid-50s, a clear day with not many clouds in the sky, bright sunshine, and Eddie, as we really looking forward to this one, you know, just a great setting, a beautiful campus here from Cornell, and Monmouth should be in line, quite honestly, for a win today. When you kind of consider that Cornell is banged up as they are, Monmouth trying to get healthy on their own and have had 2 weeks to prepare for this one, at least on paper, this looks like it could be a good day for the Hawks.
Yeah, Matt, I think coming into the contest, a lot of concern surrounding that Cornell passing attack, which we find out this morning is obviously taking the big hit, as you mentioned, missing not only the trigger man in Matthews, but the center as well and an All-American wide receiver. So now MU comes into the contest, which would probably be a 50-50 game to begin with, probably with a decided advantage now over the Big Red on their home turf. And they should look to take advantage of the inexperienced signal caller. When Monmouth is at their best defensively, they are getting pressure on the quarterback, and it's going to be important not only from that defensive line, but doing it in the secondary as well, jamming these receivers who like to run short in cuts and out routes to try to get open.
We talk about our injury report. It is presented by Barnabas Health. Premier Healthcare is one click away at barnabashealth.org. Barnabas Health, every day extraordinary. This is our pregame show. It's presented by First Atlantic Federal Credit Union. Visit FAFCU.com. Learn why First Atlantic is the better way to bank. Cornell, as we mentioned, coming in 2-2. Here is how their schedule has gone up until this point. They started off their year on the 15th of September, a couple weeks after Monmouth started their season. Lost to Fordham 34-27. Came back with a big win over Yale 45-6. Then lost to Bucknell 2 weeks ago. Got beat by the Bison 15-10. And as we mentioned, roughed up by Harvard last week on the road 45-13, and taking on Monmouth here today before they go full Ivy after that with Brown, Princeton, Dartmouth, Columbia, and Penn. The Ivy, one of just a couple of conferences that do not send their champion to the FCS playoffs. Harvard among the top 25 teams in the country. They sit right now atop the Ivy League standings. Penn and Princeton both at 1-0. Cornell and Dartmouth at 1-1. Brown, Columbia, and Yale still looking for their first Ivy League win. Cornell will obviously be in their home reds today, the red jerseys with the white pants and the red helmets with the white C on either side. That will put Monmouth in their all-away white uniforms today, the midnight blue helmets with the white MU insignia on either side. Cornell getting set to take the field here. The coaching matchup, an interesting one as well. Kevin Callahan in his 20th year here as the only coach that Monmouth has ever known. He takes on Kent Austin, who is in his third season with the Big Red. So far, 9-15. And, you know, the Ivy League's such a different kind of atmosphere when you come to an Ivy League facility. They start later. They don't send their champion to the playoffs. Certainly not that they're above it at all, but it's just a different sense when you hit an Ivy League campus.
Yeah, I think conference play matters more to every team, but there's something different. Even in just hearing that, how the folks here at Cornell kind of talk about it, about last week's game against Harvard and then about the remainder of their conference schedule. It just seems to have so much added importance. And you know, obviously the prestige and all of the pageantry that surround the Ivy League, the Ancient Eight, as they call them, it means a lot. And there's a lot of pride and there's a lot of history. And you can just tell when you go to some of these stadiums. I know we're familiar just from going to games with the Yale Bowl and places like that. Look at this field, how expansive it is seating-wise. It seats about 24, 25,000. And if you look across the other side, it just looks like more historical architecture than football stadium.
captains making their way to midfield for the coin toss. There is one game that has already started in the Northeast Conference. Central Connecticut State, who is looking for their first win of the year, taking on at home Duquesne. And right now, CCSU has opened up a 10-0 advantage. That a bit of surprise, as Duquesne has yet to lose in the league. Rest of the schedule, Albany playing home today against St. Francis, Pennsylvania. Robert Morris on the road at Bryant, and Sacred Heart will play at Dartmouth, another NEC Ivy League matchup. The coin flip taking place right at midfield. Monmouth making their way onto the field. Our coin toss today is presented by Coke Zero. The Hawks get a taste of forward progress, and so can you with Coca-Cola Zero, the only drink to combine real Coke taste and zero calories. So grab one now and taste forward progress with Coca-Cola Zero. Enjoy everything.
Cornell won the toss, Matt. They will receive to begin things, and they will be going left to right across the radio dial to begin, which means MU should get the football to begin the second half here in picturesque Ithaca, New York.
Yep, great setting. Looking forward to this one. Should be a lot of fun. Monmouth trying to get back on track after getting beat up a couple weeks ago at Albany. Hawks have had 2 weeks to prepare for this one. Lost the last time out 55-24 to the Great Danes. MU coming in 3-2 overall, and after today it is all league play for the remaining part of the five-game schedule that Monmouth will have. Homecoming next week against Bryant, then at Duquesne, and then the month of November looking like this. Central Connecticut State, St. Francis, Pennsylvania, and Robert Morris. So today doesn't have league standings for either one of these teams, but certainly for Monmouth, a win today puts them at 4-2, and I think gets their season kind of back on track after they were thumped a little bit by Albany a couple weeks ago.
Had the bye week to kind of lick their wounds a little bit and now move forward with an interesting Cornell team that will present a unique challenge in the fact, Matt, that they throw the ball on average with their former quarterback, their normal quarterback, Jeff Matthews, about 65-70% of the time. We'll see what they elect to do here now that he won't start. This game, as you said, though, hugely important for MU to get back on track with still the faintest hopes of a conference championship still in their sights.
Silas Nasita back deep along with Connor Armstrong. Nasita number 13, Armstrong number 36. They split the field at the hash marks, and it will be number 45, Lucas Santangelo, to get this one up and running for Monmouth. Santangelo will put the ball at the 35-yard line right in the middle of the field at the X. Again, the temperature right in the low to mid-50s. Bit of a breeze coming through. We're up on top of a hill that overlooks the rest of the town here at Ithaca. Ithaca, certainly a college town. Cornell on one side and Ithaca College on the other. Cornell in red, Monmouth in white. Game number 6 of the season is now up and running. Santangelo gives this a good charge about halfway back in the end zone. Armstrong gonna run it out, get to the 5, out to the 10, taken down to the 13-yard line. Poor decision, I would think, by Armstrong to even bring that one out, and it will be first down at 10 for Monmouth as the Hawks with an injury right now. I believe that is Dan Sullivan, number 59, who is involved in on the tackle. That would certainly not be good news for MU. Just one play in, and their starting middle linebacker still down on the turf. But now Sullivan is up and says he is okay. So it is Chris Amrine, 6'3", 221-pound senior, to get the start here today. He is from Massachusetts, went to Milton Academy as a post-grad. He will start with Luke Hagee in the backfield, a 6-foot freshman. And now Sullivan actually going to come out and take this first play off. Up front, Dylan Cunningham and J.C. Treader. Brad Wagner and Josh Greider, the guards. And Zach Wilk is the freshman center. Amrine is a senior, so he certainly knows the offense. Two wide receivers into the game. Both split out to the right side. Tight ends to either side. Amrine wants to throw, has time. Going deep down the near sideline. That ball is caught by Luke Tasker. Flag out also. Likely a pass interference call. Reggie Hildebrandt Jr. had the coverage. Luke Tasker again getting the start here at wide receiver along with Kurt Ondash. Tasker, the son of former Buffalo Bills standout Steve Tasker. Defensive hold is the call on Hildebrandt Jr. That will be declined, and that ball all the way out to the Cornell 48-yard line. Defensively for Monmouth, 4-3 alignment. Brad Harris, Pat O'Hara start at the ends. Mike Upham and Chris Luma starting at the defensive tackle spots. Sullivan back in there at the linebacking position in the middle. Colin Cooper and Dave Demersian starting outside. Reggie Hildebrandt Jr. and Mitchell Pollard starting at corner. Andrew Sutton and Elijah Phillips starting at safety. Four wide receiver package here for Cornell. Amron gets it. Flares one to the outside. That was for Hagee, the running back. Couldn't hang on to it, and it will fall incomplete. Bring up a second and 10.
And those starting lineups that my broadcast partner ran through are presented by Rooney's Oceanfront Restaurant. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, and featuring one of the area's best ocean views. Visit them online at rooneysocean.com.
Nick Mullady, the tight end. Where's number 33? Cornell broke from a huddle and then will now come back and reset it. Ty Bostain has come in at the tight end spot. He will go tight end to the left. Cornell with an extra offensive lineman to the right. Now Bostain backs off, goes as an H-back in motion from left to right across the formation. Hagee going to get his first carry up the middle, chopped down after a one-yard pickup. Demersian was the first on the scene. Sullivan cleaned it up. It'll bring up third and 9. Now for Cornell.
I hope you took note of what you just saw, Matt. You won't see that very often. Cornell only runs it at about 61 yards per game. They throw it for 350. So get used to seeing the ball in the air a lot this afternoon, even with Matthews not playing.
Mullady coming back in. He will stay in the backfield as Amrine will go to a shotgun formation. Trip to the far sideline left. Single receiver is on dash near sideline to the right. Plenty of time for Amrine to throw. Zips one high and wide. It falls incomplete. The inhibited receiver was on dash. And on a fourth down and 9, Cornell will bring their punt team on. And Monmouth likely to see their first possession of the game.
Little miscommunication on the outside there. On dash, I think, broke the route off. Probably where he was expecting, Matt, which was about 4 yards short of where Amrine threw the football. So credit the Hawks defense with a stop on their first possession.
Sam Wood, the sophomore number 12, who averages about 38 yards per punt, on to boom this one. He'll step into it about his own 35-yard line. Here comes pressure, and that one was almost blocked. Elijah Phillips will let it bounce at the 15-yard line. It will roll down now inside the 10 and trickle down to the 7. And when I say almost blocked, Joe Johnson, the freshman from Manchester, New Jersey, came through clean and missed it by that much.
He pounded his fist on the turf. He knew he missed an opportunity there, but nevertheless, you like what you see there from the special teams. How about two good plays by them, almost blocking a punt and then pinning Cornell inside their own 15 on the opening kickoff.
Kyle Frazier, fifth-year senior quarterback from Maryland, bringing the offense on. 6'3", 225 pounds. We'll talk about his numbers in a second. Going to go right to work here with receivers either side. Julian Hayes will get the carry out to the 10-yard line, where it will bring up a second and 7. Offensively for MU, Julian Hayes starting in the backfield along with Justin Pandorf. There's a Cornell player down. We'll check that number for you in just a second. Tristan Roberts and Neil Sterling getting the start today at the wide receiver spot. Tyler George is the tight end. Brandon Maxwell, Mike Murphy, the two tackles. Dino Molina and Josh Patterson, the guards. And Mike Hunchek is the senior. Trey Miner and Emmett Terrell, the defensive ends for Cornell, who runs a 4-3 defense in the middle. Kevin Marchant and Shane McManamon. Taylor Beatros and Andrew Nelson, the outside linebackers. Brett Bueller is the middleman. Kendall Brown, Jared Watson-Lewis are the corners. Rush Miller and Brian G are the two safeties. Still haven't gotten the number of the player that is down for Cornell. Looks like number 96. That is Emil Chang. He is a defensive lineman from Elmont, New York. Good size, 6'3", 317 pounds. He's got a knee brace on his right knee that is visible through his uniform and looks to be walking off under a sizable limp, and I would say on the right leg.
He's walking with two of the Cornell staff. I don't know, maybe he'd offer my assistance because Emil looks to be in a world of pain right now, and he's not walking too briskly.
And nobody in out any big rush to come help him out.
Yeah, no one came off the sideline. Hey, who knows? Maybe Emil, did somebody wrong at some point.
We're 90 seconds in. Now the clock up and running. Frazier going to operate with an I formation off to his right. Wanting to throw. Here comes pressure. Lets it fly to the far sideline. That catch is made. Hauled in by Lamar Davenport, the junior from Asbury Park, out to the 19-yard line. That will go as a first-down reception, a 9-yard pickup, and for Lamar, his 23rd catch of the year.
Nice throw from Frazier. It was from left hash to right sideline, one of the longest throws in football. He made it look easy there.
George staying in as an H-back spot right now, kind of a wing setup to the right. Hayes will get the carry off the right side, looking to pick a spot through the right, gets to the 22-yard line, a 3-yard pickup brought down by Brent Bueller, the middle linebacker. It'll be 2nd and 7 for Monmouth. This their opening possession. We are 3 minutes in and no score between MU and Cornell.
The Hawks keep it on the ground there, Matt. That's a key. And Monmouth needs to get back to a power running attack. Cornell's opponents have rushed for at least 139 yards per game.
Three wide receivers this time out to the left. It'll be Hayes again off the right side. Hayes will pound it forward to the 27-yard line. He'll pick up 5 and leave Monmouth with a 3rd down and 2. And the rushing attack for Monmouth is something that has seen some issues the last couple of games. In a win over Sacred Heart and a loss to Albany, there was not the normal punch that we saw. Monmouth held in both of those games to under 70 yards.
Yeah, I think the first time it was kind of dismissed. Like, all right, well, you know what? They struggled against Wagner. It's okay. But 3 games in a row, they haven't been able to run the ball as effectively as they did their first couple.
3rd and 2 now for MU. It will be Hayes again, this time up the middle, trying to get close to the first down marker, but not going to have enough. Taken down at the 28-yard line. He will be a good full yard shy of the first down. Beatros and Nelson in on that tackle, and Monmouth will have to punt it away. After getting a first down, just as Cornell did, the Hawks will bring the punt team on.
And again, that's the running game right there. Monmouth needed a couple of yards. Hayes only able to get about half a yard, and they'll have to punt again. I thought these two teams were going to come out swinging with two high-powered offenses. We have two punts already.
Here's Ryan Moore fielding a low snap. Gets off a wobbly punt. Luke Tasker back deep. Tasker had a crack at it before it rolls out of bounds on the far sideline. It will be spotted out at the Cornell 30-yard line, where the Big Red will have their second possession of the day. 11-12 remaining here in the first quarter. No score between Monmouth and Cornell.
You mentioned it on the first possession, but to see a Tasker back playing special teams, I'm sure, puts nerves in everyone. Luke's dad, Steve, a 7-time Pro Bowler with the Bills, widely regarded as probably the finest special teams player in NFL history.
Tasker, 5'11", 191 pounds from East Aurora, New York. Of course, his dad starred here in upstate New York for Buffalo, so familiar with the area for sure. Double tight end package, receivers either side. Flag is out as this one flipped in the flat. The catch is made by Bostain, the tight end, who will bounce off a tackle, stay on his feet, and have enough yardage for a first down, barring the penalty, which I would think, as quick as it was thrown, would be some kind of procedure penalty against Cornell or an offside against Monmouth. And the latter is true. Offside against Monmouth, who's now had a couple of penalties, both of which have been declined. This one results in a first down reception for Ty Bostain, the tight end, junior, 6'5", 240. 1st and 10 now for the Big Red from their own 40-yard line.
We knew Cornell was going to throw it a lot, and they will do so out of a wide variety of formations. We've seen him under center in power. This time, before this timeout that was just taken, Matt, they went 3 wide receivers.
We'll take a timeout as well. 10:48 to go in the first quarter. No score between Monmouth and Cornell. We're back in 30 seconds with more Monmouth football on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
The members of the New Jersey Education Association have not only helped make this broadcast possible, but they also work to make public schools great for every child.
Back here from Schoelkopf Stadium, Matt Harmon, Eddie Acapinti on the Shore Sports Network. It'll be Cornell with a first down and 10 from their own 40-yard line. Bostain across the formation. He's the target again. Good hands. Makes the catch at the 44. Bumped out of bounds by Colin Cooper, who had the coverage and the tackle. Coop now slow to get up on the Mama sideline and will stay down and be tended to. Bill Lounch, who was not expected to play today at all, has just made his way onto the field.
I was just as shocked as you, not only to see Colin Cooper go down like he did, but Bill Lounch with no hesitation in the game.
Runs right on. Second and six coming up for Cornell. Chris Amrine again getting the start today in favor of Jeff Matthews. Amrine has not thrown a pass yet this season before today.
You said it, though. Senior, familiar with the offense, and outside of one miscue, looks fairly sharp early on.
Grant Galati splitting himself as a slot receiver into the game for the first time here. It'll be a run play. Luke Hagee has it. He's got room in Mama territory at the 45-yard line. Will spin forward, have a first down, and taken down at the Hawk 38. Tackle made there by Mitchell Pollard and Andrew Sutton. A couple of sloppy attempts at tackles that time. Hagee gets good yardage, the freshman from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
His longest rush of the season on that play right there. They went out of the pistol formation, ran right up left guard. A huge hole through that Monmouth defense, and Hagee brings it into Hawk territory.
Tasker going to split himself out with Galatly off to the left side of the formation. Jesse Heon and Ondash out to the right. Screen set up well. Mullady will make the catch. He'll get tackled to the 35-yard line. Sullivan read it pretty well, had some blockers in front, and Sully able to come through, bust the play up for a 3-yard pickup. It'll bring up second and seven with 9:20 remaining in a scoreless first quarter.
You know, Matt, I really did want to see Jeff Matthews play quarterback for Cornell. He was a top 10 quarterback prospect in the NFL draft, a potential high-round draft pick, and not seeing him, I think, now we'll see what this Cornell offense is all about, because Amrine appears to be running it pretty effortlessly.
Four wide receivers set. Little shovel pass in for Hagee, and Dave Demersion is there to stop that play before it could get going. Big tackle made by MU. A loss of three will bring up a third and 10.
You think he's seen that enough in practice? I don't think Demersion was fooled at all, and it was setting up nicely for Cornell with how they looked to have it blocked from our vantage point up high, but Demersion snuck in and lowered the boom.
Monmouth will go nickel here, bring in Pat Gray as the extra safety. Demersion and Rodriguez as the two linebackers. They move Sullivan up to a rush defensive end spot on the left. Coming hard. Here's Amrine. Got time. Goes over the middle and could not connect with Tasker. That one will fall incomplete. Bring up a fourth down and maybe a decision here for Kent Austin, as you know, too close to punt and maybe too far for field goal range for Boomer Olsen. We've got a hold on Cornell. That will be declined, so Monmouth will set up a fourth down and make Cornell make the decision. Boomer Olsen, the freshman kicker. Are they going to punt here? They are.
I think they're going to have to, Matt. It's too windy down there, and that's why that ball, I think, was thrown behind Tasker. Whatever wind there is would be in the face of the field goal kicker. I think it's a little too far.
I was going to be more apt to say take a crack and go for it on fourth and 10.
I'm with you. I would do that.
Sam Wood on will try and hang this one in the air. Phillips will let it go over his head. It will bounce at the 15-yard line and stop right at the 15-yard line. So all things considered, Cornell getting 23 yards of field position out of it. 8:07 remaining in the first quarter. No score between MU and Cornell. One other game in the NAC right now. In the second quarter, Central Connecticut State is putting a whooping on Duquesne right now, 17-0.
Well, there goes our theory that Duquesne could be the team to knock off Albany, hopefully. And if MU was able to win out, split the championship, because Central, who has no wins right now, is bringing it to the Dukes. That's a shocker.
Central 0-2 in the NAC, 0-5 overall. Here's Frazier wanting to go back to work. Looking off to his right, throwing right. Misconnects with Tyler George. An errant throw that time. It'll fall incomplete and bring up a second and 10.
Risky. Anytime the ball's tipped over the middle, and remember back in game one against Lehigh, it was Tyler's drop in that same situation that led to a big interception. Here, fortunate, the ball's able to hit the turf. And you can hear the wind in our mic. It really is picking up out there. It's sunny, but it's cold and really windy for an early October game.
Three wide receivers set, two off to the right for Frazier. Roberts, the single man, back to the left. KB Asante into the game at the running back spot. He'll get the carry. He'll have good yardage out to the 25-yard line. Be pretty close to a first down. Should have just enough for it. Asante with his first carry of the day. Part of the three-headed running back monster that Monmouth has with Hayes, KB, and Pete Nagy. I'll kind of do something different. Asante getting his crack at it here in this possession for MU. 7:40 to go in the first quarter. Mike McLafferty in. He will go wing to the left with George set up that side. Frazier, play action, wanting to throw. Now going to step up, flush from the pocket. Going to tuck it, run, have the first down, and more. Will head out of bounds at the 43-yard line. That goes as a gain of 18. And we've seen Frazier do that. He has that ability to step up in the pocket, tuck it, and run. He's certainly good size, 6'3", 225, so he can take a hit, but he's got pretty deceptively good speed for a quarterback.
He used to run the zone read pretty well. Now I like that. When he runs, it's to escape pressure and pick up yards. I think he shocked Cornell a little bit, too, on that play with his speed, able to get to the sideline.
First down and 10. Now for MU from their own 43-yard line. Frazier again wants to roll. He'll find George set up far side hash mark. And George will make the catch, get tripped up at the 50-yard line. That tackle made that time by number 54 for Cornell, Mike Tate. George quickly moving up the all-time receiving list for Monmouth, beginning play today at number 4 in all-time receptions, needing just a couple to trickle up to number 3. Here's Eric Sumlin in motion. Jet sweep off the right side. Sumlin will have the first down. Jumps forward into Cornell territory. Taken out at the 41-yard line.
I'm happy that Sumlin got the carry, Matt, on that play, because the play before, he was wide open on the play that George caught. And I'm going to make a point of that. MU needs to keep that play in mind, because George was short, Sumlin was intermediate, and then they had Sterling going deep. That's going to be there for them next time they want to run it after that good first down carry.
Trips off to the left, single receiver up top is Sterling to the right. Frazier looking in Sterling's direction. He will make the catch, step out of bounds at the 36-yard line, a gain of 5 to set up a 2nd and 5. We mentioned George, number 4 all-time in pass receptions. That last catch puts him at 112. He's 2 away from Will Holder for the 3rd spot at 114, so he needs 3 more to move into 3rd all by himself.
Yeah, the guys at 1 and 2 on that list kind of have themselves separated. Adam San Miguel with 194, and a guy you might have heard of, Miles Austin, has 150.
2nd and 5, it's Asante up the middle. KB will have the first down, dragging tacklers to the 30-yard line, and Monmouth seems to have found their groove a little bit here offensively.
I like the play balance. Doing it both in the air and on the ground. The first down completion to Sterling opened things up for Asante, who's been the complete show on the ground here on this second drive. And, Matt, they just look more comfortable now. They aren't as rushed as they were against Albany now. Their entire playbook is in play.
Roberts, Sterling, and Sumlin all set themselves to the left side of the formation. Ball from the right hash mark. Frazier gets the snap. Wants to go to the right side. Has McLafferty, the tight end. They will rule. 5:21 remaining. At the next opportunity, we'll take a timeout and try and reconnect for you in just a second. No score between MU and Cornell. Here's Asante on the carry off the right side. Fumbled the football, but is ruled down first. It'll be a 2-yard loss. Asante didn't have much of a chance on that play as Jared Watson Lewis, the freshman corner, came up and make the play.
Yeah, they called the perfect blitz, blitzing from the left cornerback position. MU was running it right in that direction on a bit of a counter play, so KB unfortunately just had to get as much as he could. He did put it on the deck, but he was able to recover.
3rd and 12 now for Monmouth. Sumlin in a slot off to the left. Roberts far sideline, and Sterling into the game. Bubble screen set up for Sterling on the right side. Sterling picking a spot off the right side. And we'll get pretty good yardage. He'll be about 3 shy, taken down at the 23-yard line. Monmouth needs to get to the 20 for a first down. This is certainly within the range for Eric Spillane, but maybe a good opportunity to go for it on 4th down and short.
I think Coach Callahan's going to agree with you. Spillane took 2 steps onto the field and then I think realized he was the only specialist on the field, and the offense will remain. This is makeable, and you could still even run it here on 4th and 3.
Fourth and three from the Cornell 23-yard line. Frazier from the guns, got receivers to either side. Wants the stop throw, in trouble, and will get sacked. Taken down by Brett Bueller, the junior middle linebacker who came on a blitz. No one picked him up. Frazier couldn't get around it. And with 4:13 remaining in the first quarter, Cornell will get the football back.
Only the fourth sack of the season for the Big Red, and they come up with a big one here on fourth down. Coverage was good on the back end also. They did a really good job on Sterling. They had Roberts in the slot covered very well. Kyle didn't have much time to throw, but even if he would have, it was blanket coverage on the secondary side.
So Amrine going to go back to work and take the offense over from his own 35-yard line. We'll send Ondash in motion. Here's Mullady with the carry off the left side. Gives Sullivan a bit of a ride out to the 41-yard line. The tackle made there after a 6-yard pickup will bring up second and four. 4 minutes remaining. Nick Mullady, the senior from Illinois, plays tight end, plays a bit of a running back. Got the carry on that last possession. Three other games in the NEC kicking off at 1 o'clock. Two other games at 1 o'clock and one at 1:30. That's an NEC-IV matchup. The Sacred Heart taking on Dartmouth. Movement up front, but everybody stays on side. Ty Bostain, the H-back, in motion. Here's Hagee on the carry. He'll dive over the pile and pick up only about a half a yard. It will leave Cornell here with a third down and three from their own 41.
Probably a throwing down here, but it's an interesting down because draws in play, screen is in play, and if they only pick up Matt a couple yards, they could always go for it on fourth down. They have to make their own 45 for a first.
We saw a screen before from Cornell. Certainly this would be kind of the area to do it again. Two receivers to either side for Amrine. Jesse Heon and Grant Gallatly, the two off to the right. Here comes a big blitz from Amit, deflected down at the line of scrimmage, and it will bring up fourth down. Didn't see who got a paw on it. I'm not sure if you did, Eddie, but good charge that time defensively by the MU front four.
Matt, it looked like it might have been Rich Lorfing. Cover zero, on the back end. It was man across the field. No safety in the middle. Coach Bobick electing the all-out blitz. Thankfully, I believe it was Lorfing that got his paw on the football.
Here's Sam Wood on to punt. He's been busy so far today. Third punt, low snap. High hanging punt stuck in the wind. Elijah Phillips will come up and field it at the 31-yard line. We're going to take a quick timeout and do a bit of reconnecting here. 2:38 to play in the first quarter. No score between Monmouth and Cornell. We'll back right after this on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
1:58 remaining here in the first quarter. Monmouth and Cornell are scoreless. We missed a couple of plays reconnecting. And in the meantime, Monmouth just fumbled. Cornell will get it back at the Hawks' 33-yard line. It was a shovel pass to Tyler George, and he was hit coming through the line. Cornell now in business. They have it first and 10 from the MU 33-yard line. The Hawk defense, which has been up to the task so far today, will be certainly challenged here. Trips formation coming out to the right side. Ty Bostain, the tight end, staying back to the left. Man in motion is Gallatly. He will get it. Jet sweep going around the far side end, and he is upended. Somersault tackle on a 2-yard pickup, maybe a 1-yard pickup, let's say, to the 32-yard line. It'll bring up second and 9. Good pressure on the far side by Sullivan and Demersion.
I'm going to be really excited when the jet sweep craze leaves college football. I'm not a fan.
Well, that's one play, and the shovel pass is the other. When we've seen it on back-to-back occasions, a fumble on a shovel pass from Monmouth and a 1-yard pickup after about a 35-yard run across the field for Cornell. Second and 9 with 75 seconds remaining in the first quarter. Amrine wants to throw. He's got a man open. Little circle route out of the backfield. The catch made by Hagee. He'll take it down inside the 5. There is a flag down. They'll spot this football at the 4-yard line. This is going to be against Monmouth. It is a roughing the passer call on MU. Bunch of penalties here for Monmouth defensively. It's the third one already today.
Well, I got two quick coaches' points. One, if Luke Hagee is going to get matched up on Dave Demergent coming out of the backfield, it's going to be a big day for Luke Hagee. Two, if you give up the big play, you've got to have the presence of mind to not hit the quarterback late. Now, they've got it first and goal.
First down and goal from the Hawk 2-yard line. Right up the middle, this is Silas Nasita, a direct snap, kind of a wildcat look. He'll take it to the one. And with inside of a minute to go, Cornell knocking on the door. They have it second and goal from the MU one-yard line.
And let me clear up the previous comment at the pick on poor Dave Demergent. Luke Hagee's going to be a tough matchup for any Monmouth linebacker out of the backfield. He's a tremendous receiver coming out. And not only can he catch it well, but he's a really shifty runner as well.
Two receivers again off to the left side. Gallantly in motion. And it again, it'll be Nasita. Direct snap. This time he will score. And score quite easily. 1 yard touchdown run for Cornell, and the Big Red capitalizing in on that fumble from Monmouth, and they jump up 6-0.
Cornell is able to take Tyler George's miscue on that shovel pass, turn it in to 6, potentially 7, as the freshman Nasita from California, not a big player, not many of these Cornell guys are on the skill side, but he's able to tough run in between the tackles and get the touchdown.
Here's John Wells on for the extra points. Kicks this one right through the uprights. Gives Cornell a 7-0 advantage. 28 seconds remaining in the first quarter. Cornell 7, Monmouth nothing. We're back with more Hawk football after this 30-second timeout on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
The Boathouse Bar and Grill is a proud supporter of Monmouth University Athletics. The Boathouse features great food, entertainment, and the best wings in the area. Whether you're watching college and NFL football or having a private party, the Boathouse, 1309 Main Street in Belmar, is your spot. BoathouseBarandGrill.com online, and make sure to check them out on Facebook and follow them on Twitter.
33-yard scoring drive for Cornell, capped off by a 1-yard touchdown run from freshman Silas Nasita. The extra point tacked in there as well. 7-0. Cornell leads this one after the fumble. John Wells, who just kicked the extra point, will now come on to kick off. Back deep is Pete Nagy, number 22. Let's see what kind of leg Wells has. He is kicking into a decent breeze, which has picked up since the beginning of the game here today. Puts it in between the left hash mark in the middle of the field. Gives it a ride. Hangs in the air for a second at the 8-yard line. Nagy comes up the field. It gets to the 15 and is taken down at the 18-yard line. There's a flag down on the far sideline. Usually when a flag is thrown like that, likely to be a hold, and that is exactly what it will be.
You could see the ball, Matt, in flight actually die in the wind. Right around the 15-yard line or so, it looked as though Wells put a decent charge into that ball. But it was real obvious where this wind is being effective. And now, as if the good it wasn't a good enough return, MU now another penalty.
And with the penalty, this one will be backed up to the 9-yard line, where Monmouth will start with their own end zone right behind them. Can't turn the ball over, certainly on your side of the 50, and expect that the defense is going to keep the opposition off the board for the whole game. McLafferty and George, tight end wing set off to the right. Frazier wants to throw. Finds Davenport at the 15-yard line. Lamar dances his way forward to the 20. He dropped the football as well, but fumbled it out of bounds. Monmouth will have first down yardage out to the 20-yard line with 16 and a half seconds remaining here in the first quarter.
A lot of man coverage that Cornell is showing. Monmouth, we've seen the Hawks go to the flat on those out routes. Keep an eye on the double move later.
Here's Hayes, quick pitch, bounces forward to the 24-yard line. That'll be the final play of the first quarter. Cornell leading this one by a score of 7-0. We step out as we have played 15 minutes. We'll come back and start our second set of 15 right after this 60-second timeout. You're listening to Monmouth Football on the Shore Sports Network.